Previously on Waiting for Doom.
Hello and welcome back to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol related podcast ever, of all time.
I'm Paul.
I'm Mike.
We're just talking about the year that we had doing this podcast and looking forward to the next year. Today we're welcoming to the show Martin Gray, who's here to help us look at Infinite Crisis.
Hooray!
Hello there, lads. Thank you for having me. It's a real honour.
We have a very special guest joining us for the first time. It's, I guess, the silent partner of Waiting for Doom. It's James, aka Rifty.
Hello, world.
Ticking. Is that ticking?
Yeah, that is ticking, and it's the Doom Clock. So it's been 5 years and 18 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book.
That's the longest wait we've ever had. Hang on.
We're very lucky to have joining us this week, Mr. Jay Torres.
Thank you for having me.
We've been really surprised by how much you have written the Doom Patrol over the years. There's quite a few comics where you've slipped them in here and there and really focused on them a lot, actually.
I did my best to try to sneak them into the work that they would let me do that in.
We are taking a look at the mini-series of Flex Mentallo. And joining us this week is our very special guest and fan of said mini-series, Mr. Chris Sabella. Thanks for coming back, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What's it about?
Well...
Today, it's part of JL May, finally. It's a podcast crossover where we're all looking at a JLA comic, which is called JLA Year One. So we've called it in... Doug Savisha and Ange.
Hooray! Ange.
Morning.
Hey, thanks for inviting us.
And this week on the show, we're doing Doom Patrol 101. So what are the basics of the Doom Patrol? We're doing Doom Patrol Volume 2, Issues 17 and 18. And that can mean only one thing. Invasion. And this is the end of Paul Kupperberg writing the Doom Patrol. Joining us today is a very special guest. So if there was a Mount Rushmore for the Doom Patrol of creators, I think this man's face would be front and center in the middle of it. So we are joined by Paul Kupperberg.
Thanks, good to be here. Yes, I love the Doom Patrol. Do you bleep or can I say fuck?
You can say whatever you want in Asher.
Okay, good. That's right, you're Australian.
Yeah.
We are joined by Stephen Lacey, who's from the Fantasticast podcast.
Hi.
Yes, this week we are joined by none other than Fractures.
Great to be on here.
We have an extra person joining us today, and that is a Mr. Ryan Daly. So, Ryan, what are your feelings about the Doom Patrol?
I have none.
That's our show, folks.
Well, the day has finally come on Doomsplaining where we have reached the end of Volume 1. The Doom Patrol will die after this issue. Joining us once again, it's Gabe Hardman.
The superheroes are not going to save you. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to end horribly. I'm sorry, it's just true.
I don't know if you heard, Mike, there's a new Doom Patrol comic on the way. We have confirmation the Doom Patrol is in the basket.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Whoa, Doom Patrol!
Fantastic. Gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to go and, as we say here in Australia, crack open a tinny.
How exciting is this, Mike?
I'm so excited.
So three old guys excited for young animals.
This sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you say it like that, Paul.
Doom Patrol was trending on Twitter, I believe. Doom Patrol number one, we salute you.
And now, year three of Waiting for Doom. This pleases Wilfred.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome back to the world's greatest and your favorite podcast all about the Doom Patrol. Yes, welcome to Waiting for Doom.
Yay! I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at @reading_hicks, and you can send us emails to waitingfordoom@gmail.com. That's the new email address for 2017.
And we're on Facebook for 2017. And all the posts about the show are on mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com in 2017. And our 2017 episodes are available on iTunes, Stitch Radio, and podbean.com, plus the 2016 episodes and the 2015 episodes.
Oh, year three. Oh. How does it feel, mate? Oh.
Year three.
Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter also at avantgarve. You can also find on Twitter our lovely sentient show Twitter account, Wilfred, who is at WFDpod. And as always, we are proudly brought to you by comicosity.com.
Yeah, and this week I was looking at comicosity.com and they have all their best of the year picks up. Ooh. Which is pretty good. Pretty good. So they got all the contributors to chime in with what they thought was best. So we get a bit of Doom Patrol love. We get that from Doug Savisha. There's a bit of a shout out to Tamara Bonvillain, the colorist of the current Doom Patrol.
Excellent.
Yeah, and there's, you know, some good picks. And there's also a look ahead at the comics to watch out for in 2017. And pretty universally, everyone is really looking forward to the America series from Marvel, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. America Chavez. She's
really popular,
Yeah, so people are excited about that one. Let's hope that it delivers. But, yeah, fingers crossed for that. Anyway, Mike.
Paul.
How was 2017 in comics for you so far?
I actually read some comics, guys. Woohoo!
This segment is on target this week.
The year's off to a good start. Yes, over the Christmas break, I read a total of 10 comics. And my to-read pile is now down to 60-something. 50-something, 60-something. So, yes, I got caught up on Animosity from Aftershock Comics by Margaret Bennett and Raphael De La Torre about animals that can now talk and interact and scare humans even more. Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye.
Ooh.
Yes.
Really, so you've read all three?
Only the first two. Only the first two.
Yeah, okay. I've read the first two.
The Fix from Image Comics about corrupt cops. That's always fun. What else? Future Quest, Dr. Fate, Detective Comics, Descender, King's Quest, because I love a bit of the Flash and Mandrake and the Phantom and that. And I also gave Josie and the Pussycats a try. And that was good fun. So yeah, got caught up on some comics. Still got a crap ton there to get through. So by maybe June, I'll be caught up on all my 2016 comics. I don't know. Anyway, how's your week so far been in the new year, Paul? 2 weeks, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I have been catching up on my reading, as one can do at this time of year when one is not at work as much as one usually is. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about myself in third person suddenly, which is weird. Anyway, Paul read some good comics. Now, I got through some library stuff. So I got through The Sheriff of Babylon, the first trade of that, which was pretty spiffy.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of Homeland Season 5 with horrible stuff happening in Baghdad. So, you know, don't get attached to anyone because they're going to die.
Right.
but very well written. Tom King on Vertigo. He got Writer of the Year from a lot of people, and I think that's warranted.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and catching up with a bit of the Comixology pile as well.
So. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you impulse buy things, or you buy things to read one day, and you know, and you can't see it. It's not a physical pile.
Yes,
but it is a pile. It's a digital. It's a virtual pile of comics that you can't see.
Mm. Yeah. So how many of those did you have?
I read about 14 issues of Batman Streets of Gotham to get through the Manhunter backups.
Oh wow! Okay.
Mark Andrico and various. Mm-hmm. They were okay. They were meant to be a trade, and then as DC sometimes does, they pulled the plug on that trade before it ever came out. And I was always like, oh, ripped off. And so when the buy one get one, the BOGO sale came along, I completed my run of those backups so I could read them.
Cool.
Yes, but you know, yeah, good time of year for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Cool.
All right. Is that what do we do now?
I think if you follow that map, you'll find yourself going down on Durrington Way.
Oh, yes.
So rusty. What a great start to the year this is.
Now, there is not a lot of news about Doom Patrol coming out right now. The issue is delayed. We are experiencing delays. So... We thought we were getting one next week, but it's apparently now it's going to be 25th of 25th of January.
Oh,
so,
what?
Yeah.
Delayed again?
Well, no. Well, it was delayed in the interim from being delayed, so this is the new delay. So.
Right.
Anyway, let's not stress. It will come out Australia Day Eve.
Oh, that's not so bad.
There's nothing more Aussie than reading a new Doom Patrol, I believe.
That's right, listeners. If you want to feel Australian, pick up the next issue of Doom Patrol.
Yeah, and if it's really good, we all get a day off to enjoy it in Australia.
Nice.
Australia.
Tidy. Australia.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, I just wanted to have a little word about the delay. Now, some people who are new to comics may be crapping themselves over delayed comics.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, I'm going to the comic shop, I'm wanting to pick up Doom Patrol, it's not there. What do I do, Paul? What do I do? And I say to you, the people who say that to me, say, don't worry, it's all good. It doesn't matter if a comic is late. It's better that the comic keeps its creative integrity, quality. I mean, in 4 years' time, you won't care that this issue is late. You'll just be glad that it's drawn by Nick Darrington, coloured by Tamara Bonvillain, and written by Gerard Way.
Exactly.
That will be enough for you.
Yep.
And when it's collected in a book, sweet. It's a beautiful collection. It's all there. So, I mean, like, famous comics that were very delayed, Watchmen issue 12.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't think anyone went, oh, I wish this issue had come out earlier and been drawn by a different artist. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
All right. Do we have a ballpark estimate for how long that was delayed?
I believe it was several months. I think it was like 3 or 4 months.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and Camelot 3000, that had a really big delay in the back in the day. So there's only thing, no one cares. It's drawn by Brian Bolland.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy the trade and you get 12 issues of Brian Bolland goodness. You don't care that it's late now.
Yeah.
Might have heard at the time, but, you know, life is, you know, it's, time is passing. There are other things you can do with your time.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to old episodes of Waiting for Doom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you can't afford a new comic, just listen to us talking about one or an old one.
Listen to us at bedtime. We're like a bedtime story for you guys.
Yeah, we're like just the sweet slumbering sounds of Australian voices sending you to sleep. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to say. Take your time, Gerard. Take your time, Nick. Get them right. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, just... It'll all be worth it. We don't want creative stress, you know.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and if you're really dying to read a comic, you might be able to pick up an issue of Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye instead, or
True.
Mother Panic, or Shade the Changing Girl, or any other comic that is out there. You know?
Yes.
You can hit us up on Twitter. We'll give you recommendations.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I do think in this day and age, though, even if people are new comic readers, you're right. They should be prepared for delays with books, but it's so worth it when it does return.
Yeah.
And like me, some people might remember I love the series from Image called Black Science, and they have big delays between their story arcs so that they can have the same team working on it each time. So what I do is I go back and I reread it in the break so I can, you know.
Oh, nice.
Be refreshed and remembered, or make sure I'm up to date with all the wacky zaniness and that I haven't missed anything, because that book's crazy. But yeah, it's a sad but true state of affairs with comics that some things get delayed, but you're absolutely right, Paul. It's definitely worth the wait. Yeah.
Yeah. So panic stations back down.
DEFCON, cool out, guys.
All right. Now, is that the sound of ticking that
it
I hear
is
in the new year?
It's the first ticking of the Doom Clock of the new year, so let's check out the mighty Doom Clock. So, we gaze upon the mighty face of the Doom Clock, and it's telling us that the last Doom Patrol book we had was issue 3 of volume 6 by Way and Darrington and Co. So it's been 9 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. Yeah.
It almost seems rude to point that out.
Look, it's our gimmick. We've been doing it since the first episode, I think, or the second one. I can't remember. Let's just stay on brand. So issue 4 is now due on January 25th. Of 2017, so just 2 weeks away. So I thought it was only one, but thanks, Paul.
Don't kill the messenger, man.
No, yeah, true. It'll all be worth it. DEFCON, chill out. The last appearance of the Patrol as a united team was 1 year and 22 weeks ago in two different comics. They were All-Star Section 8, number 3, and Justice League United, number 12. But we should have them back as a triumphant team, back in action, united by issue 6 of the new volume. Has to be.
At least.
At least. And this week in Doom Patrol history, going on sale January 7th in 1992, with the cover date of February 1992, for me, $1.50, was Doom Patrol Volume 2, number 52, from Grant Morrison and Richard Case. And this was part of the Magic Bus storyline, and it saw Cliff, Josh, and Yankee Doodle go to a political rally for Mr. Nobody and the new Brotherhood of Data. Of course, it all went off without a hitch, and everybody lived happily ever after.
Hang on, I don't remember reading that.
We covered this issue way back in episode... Oh, way back? Well, not that long ago. Episode 68 from August of 2016, so you can check that out for more details. And that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
Kalibak, Desaad, it is I, Darkseid. I command you to listen to the Who's Who podcast. Uncover the powers and weaknesses of the Super Friends so that I may destroy them.
Aquaman and Superman, Animal Man and Plastic Man, Firestorm and Nuclear Man, Batman and Hawkman, 2D Man and Hour Man.
Who are all these people, man?
They're all part of a DC Who's Who. Ultra Boy and Booster Gold, Lightning Lass and Hippolyta, Phantom Stranger, Etrick and Arisia and Woody Winks.
Hey, hey, hey.
What?
What about that one guy?
What guy?
Mr. Pretzel, Mr. Lipstick, Mr. Mitzelfuzzle?
Mr. Mitzi's Pitlick?
Yeah, him.
He's also part of the DC Who's Who.
Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe.
Available monthly at fireandwaterpodcast.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
Okay, this week on Doomsplaining, we are returning to Volume 3 of the Doom Patrol from John Arcudi and Tan Nguyet and team from 2002. Now, we know that not a lot of Patrol fans have possibly read this volume of the Patrol.
So that's a bit of a blind spot.
A little bit, yeah. So on this episode, we'll be covering issues 5 and 6. But if you want to get caught up, we highly recommend you go and listen to episode 67 for the first two issues and then 73 for issues 3 and 4. So you're not that far behind if you haven't caught up. But as you'll find out in these two issues tonight, the story, oh, the weirdness kicks in a really cool way.
The thick plottins.
Sure does, Flang. Sure does. Anyway, I'm going to kick things off looking at Doom Patrol Volume 3, Issue 5, titled Fade. And this came out on February 6, 2002, with a cover date of April 2002 for $2.50 for about 40 pages. Not so bad. Edited by Andrew Helfer, written by John Arcudi, art by Tan Nguyet. Bob Lappin, was the letterer, and David Stewart was the colorist. Of course, as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, the guy from Eurythmics. But
yeah, yeah.
That joke doesn't have quite the same ring as Bob Brown, not the Green Senator.
We can use it. We'll roll it in.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Comedy Cop. Anyway, let's kick things off.
It's funny to you, Mike. It's funny.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Follow my funny bliss. So Doom Patrol Volume 3, Number 5, Fade. And the cover has a brilliant cover. With the monster that was summoned at the end of issue 4 grabbing Cliff by the throat and holding him up in the air. And you can see the reflections of the panicked patrol rushing towards him in the reflection of his giant sword. And oh, it's a great cover. I highly recommend you go back and listen to that previous episode where we talked about issue 4 because the action in this continues straight after it.
There's a hint of pagoda behind Cliff, isn't there?
Yes, yes. I love the Asian influences in this run. And I guess we have to thank Huet for that.
It's a bit of an Asian fusion. It's a tasty meal.
Oh, God. Anyway, we open up the issue and it continues straight away from the end of issue 4 with the team in shock that the beast that Tycho Brahe summoned has killed him. and Beast Boy, who's still on the scene as part of the other all-new, all-different Doom Patrol that turned up in the previous issue. So you got to go listen to those previous episodes. Beast Boy notices that the acolytes who are worshipping in the ceremony in the room, they all begin to disrobe. And suddenly the Beast slays them as well with his giant sword.
Oh.
Death everywhere. Just as Robot Man gives the order for both Doom Patrols to take down the monster, the souls of the dead in the room suddenly burst forth from their bodies, flying through the air and confusing the heroes even further. And much to everyone's surprise, Tycho is suddenly alive again and, you know, just floating in midair. And the released spirits have transformed the now dead worshippers in the room, turning them into monstrous-looking new entities. And they're just standing there looking damn evil straight away. Just as the monsters attack, Negative Ted, as we love to call him, asks Robot Man, if I quit the team right now, do you think they'll still kick my butt? Cliff doesn't really think that's an option, though. As the fight rages on, Robot Man and Ralph Dibny, the elongated man, who's on the other all-new, all-different Doom Patrol, realize that the ghost they saw possessing the worshippers, turning them into monsters and reviving Tycho, they all came from within the sword. And that's going to explain why the bigger wants to kill them all, to offer a sacrifice so these evil spirits could inhabit their bodies. And speaking of that bigger monster, we see Rex Mason, aka Metamorpho, again on the other Doom Patrol team, try to take on this giant monster, turning himself into solid diamond, but the massive sword wielded by the Beast still cuts through him. Yeah. Metamorpho tries another trick, transforming himself into a cloud of nitrogen, but one of the newer monsters starts actually inhaling him, yuck, and then releasing him in a great gust, knocking down Kid Slick and disrupting his frictionless field. The monsters are suddenly gaining the upper hand on our heroes when Ted grabs Ralph and gives him a warning, thanks to his ability to briefly see into the future with his blah, shaking of his head thing. So you've got to go back and listen to the previous episodes, otherwise you won't get that. Anyway, Ted says to Ralph, Dibny, forget all the other monsters. That big hairy one with the sword, in about 30 seconds he's going to start killing the hell out of all of us, starting with you. But suddenly Shailene, aka Fever, or the new Hot Hands, who's, you know, on proper patrol, she steps up and she says, like heck he is, go Hot Hands! Yay! Shailene lays her blazing hands on the Beast, causing it to cry out in pain and drop the massive sword. But then she is suddenly knocked back by an energy blast and her clothes catch on fire. And we see the blast was fired by Tycho Bray, who yells at her, how dare you injure the great Niao Yut? So finally the monster has a name. About time. As she tries to call him out on the fact that he's such a bad guy, the monster we now know as Niao Yut roars an order. Now, that's really difficult to say.
It's fun to say though, Niao Yut.
The monster we now know as Niao Yut. Oh god, there's a tongue
twister. Not Niao Yut.
Not Niao Yut. Now Yurt roars an order in a strange dialect with Tycho translates, and he's saying there is nothing further to be gained by this combat. It is time for us to go. So of course the monsters all start lifting up into the air and they fly away. Of course, Metamorpho transforms into a cloud of some gas, and he's telling Robot Man that he'll track them down and he'll be in touch with the rendezvous point ASAP. But of course Negative Ted starts complaining that his team can't compete with the abilities of the other Doom Patrol. Ain't nobody on our team flying. So Cliff tells him to shut up. And Shailene, with most of her clothes now burnt away from Tycho's blast, asks if anyone has an extra shirt. A little bit saucy and rude there. Anyway, the patrols meet up with a Dr. William Wilson, the curator of the Chinese artifact exhibit that Tycho robbed in the preceding issues. And Wilson reveals to the heroes that, according to legends, the stolen armor that Tycho took actually housed 6 demons, and the small golden boats that they've been seeing everywhere are called Yuan Bao, and they were once a form of currency but are now totems of good fortune. Strangely enough, he's never actually heard of any Niao Yut, so he doesn't know what to tell them about that. And at that moment Ralph answers a phone call, and it's Rex saying he's located the demons. So the heroes are soon at a Buddhist temple confronting the demons, and another fight erupts as Tycho yells at them, why do you meddle? Why can't you leave us be? I told you, I stole nothing. And it's this last line that gives Ted an idea. And he orders Kid Slick back to the police precinct to get something from the evidence locker. And while Cliff tells Niao Yut his sword can't hurt him, Metamorpho wonders, how can that be? Well, he's Cliff and he's Robot Man and he's usually tough, but
Well, he usually gets ripped apart, man.
Yeah, yeah, and he's not a scratch on him so far.
Weird.
This time, the heroes are managing to subdue the demons, and Kid Slick returns, carrying Dr. Wilson behind him. As the doctor catches his breath, Ted encourages him on, and Wilson yells, "It's not enough. You didn't pay enough. Give me back my bone." He means the bone that Tycho took, not anything rude. And Wilson throws a Yuan Bao at Tycho's chest, and it hits, and a startled Niao Yut suddenly dematerializes. It's nothingness. Ted later explains that he realized that Tycho believed he'd paid for what he took by leaving the Yuan Baos at each location where they found them. So by giving one of them back, it messed with his mojo magic hoodoo crap. Ted's words, not mine. And despite this gamble, Cliff is actually impressed with Ted's logic. The acolytes who were worshipping at the start of the adventure are now returned to normal. And although Tycho has disappeared, he's left behind the massive sword that was forged from the ancient armor. And there's still a lot of questions about everything that actually occurred from both teams. Speaking of questions that need asking, starts Cliff, there's something I've been meaning to ask you, Rex. But Metamorpho interrupts Robot Man and says, "Hold on, meet me first. You're going to have to help me update your JLA file. It lists you and what was left of the Doom Patrol as killed in action almost 4 years ago." Robot Man looks very stunned about this news, and then he suddenly starts fading away to nothing, and he leaves both Doom Patrols standing there in a state of shock.
That's a dun-dun-dun moment.
What do you think of that one, Paul?
Oh, it's amazing. Mm. Good team up. Both the Doom Patrols work really well together. Mm-hmm. I like the use of the powers. I mean, if you want to see some fun powers, you pick Metamorpho. I mean, love that he turns himself into a giant diamond with his head sticking out the top. And all that time is gas. And you got Elongated Man stretching around and a Dr. Light firing lasers. She doesn't get a lot of dialogue in that, but it's good to see her. And it's always nice to see a Dr. Light who isn't a rapist in action.
True. Yeah, true.
Referring to the Dr. Light who starred in the Identity Crisis miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not as nice.
No.
And seeing Gar is always a pleasure. He does a bit of rhino work in this one.
He does some great fighting in this issue. Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of slamming.
There was one scene that I didn't mention in my recap there, and it's basically a one-page business meeting with Thayer Jost and one of his associates.
Brian.
And they're
Brian.
Basically discussing the two patrols working together and whether that's got any legal ramifications for his ownership of the team. But the weird thing is his office receives a phone call and Thayer takes the call, but he then tells his receptionist that there's no one there on the other end of the line. And I didn't mention it because it doesn't add a lot to the story, but when I was thinking on it after reading it, it makes me wonder if somehow that ties into what happens to Thayer in Volume 5.
Well, I actually think it was Ted Negative Man who called him. Because in the next page, in the very next panel, he's in a phone booth hanging up. So he did some sort of future jump and had a little chat and then didn't need to have the chat because of his 60 seconds in the future power.
But I'm wondering what he chatted about then.
Yeah.
Because as we'll find out in the next issue, he's kind of hating on Thayer something fierce.
Yeah, but circumstances have changed. We'll get to that.
But yeah, just when he said there's no, well, I like the way you're thinking, sir. It most probably was Negative Ted, but I clearly didn't pick that up. But then there was the little optimist in me going, oh, I wonder if that somehow ties back to what. But I can't spoil anything about Volume 5 yet because that's way off.
Perhaps it was about where the demons went because the other Doom Patrol were following them.
So
maybe Ted rang up to find out from Jost and then...
But how would Jost know?
I don't know. They're all together. It doesn't matter. There's something.
I'm sure more learned readers than us will let us know.
Maybe Doug Savisha has a theory.
Maybe. Or maybe Arthur does.
Maybe. Scott Arthur.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Anyway, it was a very fun issue. It was a nice wrap up. Well, kind of a wrap up to this Asian adventure.
And the artwork once again is spectacular. It's so dynamic. Everyone is in motion, and there's tendrils everywhere.
Yeah. I love the look of the demons as well. They're all so different and unique, and they just great fight scenes going on with them all. Yeah.
Mm. There's a very busty shot of Ava in the middle of it all. That you pointed out to me.
I'm sorry, I may have finally got around to listening to some other podcasts, but anyway.
Channeling You're in a Shag. That will sound weird to people who don't know about.
Yeah, it will. Well done. It's good to be back.
Hey. Anyway, shall we move on to the next issue?
Let's move on and see what happens now that Cliff has... Can I just mention here, Cliff vanishing at the very end of issue 5. My God, what the hell?
What's up with that?
I know.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul, take us into issue 6 and we'll hopefully find out what's going on.
Okie dokie. Dead? What do you mean dead? Billionaire Thayer Joss has just received some very bad news passed on from Metamorpho to his lawyer, Brian. I think second appearance of Brian. Very exciting. Brian the lawyer.
These are key issues for Brian fans, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a Brian the lawyer collector, you've got to have this issue.
You can't call yourself a Brian the lawyer fan without these.
No, you can't. Yeah. Anyway, maybe I should get a sketch of Brian the lawyer from some artist next time.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Commission anyway. Gold. Yep.
Seems like a wise use of my money. Anyway, Cliff Steele, aka Robot Man, is dead. The JLA are even able to provide the death certificate. It's not that Thayer is sad about Cliff, but more the legal ramifications. If Cliff Steele is dead, he can't have signed over the Doom Patrol name to Jost. It may be contestable as still valid, but relying on a signature from a hero who has been dead for 4 years is not very good for public perception. Plus, the signature doesn't even remotely match Cliff Steele's real signature.
Oh dear.
Mm. Metamorpho, Rex Mason, has also shared this information with the rest of the non-Doom Patrol. So we have a little interaction between Gar. He says, God, I can't believe this. If Cliff really died 4 years ago, but I was fighting alongside him yesterday, man, it's so weird. And Ted goes, huh. Just kind of funny hearing a green boy who can turn into a catfish or an elephant or a June bug call anything weird is all. Okay, some robot ghost has been hanging around here for the last few months, or an imposter or whatever. Point is, he's gone, ain't he? Gone and dead. It turns out, so what are y'all going to do now? That's the real question. Shailene says, you cold, heartless man. Cliff was my friend. And she inadvertently raises the room temperature with her heat powers, her hot hand powers. And then she leaves in tears, prompting Ted to say, well, I guess that's her answer. Ralph Dibney, the elongated man, decides to head back to Opal City while Dr. Light needs things sorted out before she can commit. She has 2 children to worry about. And Ted turns to Gar. How about it, beast bum? But Gar doesn't answer the question. He wants to know what happened to Cliff, the real Cliff. Anyway, Vic Darge, Kid Slick, steps into Shailene's room to see if she's okay. She was really attached to Cliff as a friend, mentor, and protector. It's really, really weird because the way he disappeared like that, it wasn't like he was just some guy pretending to be Cliff. It's like he wasn't even real. Makes me wonder if anyone else is real. And Vic assures her that he is real and moves in for a hug and is scalded for his efforts.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's why we call her Hot Hands.
Yeah. Ted calls his lawyer to see what advantage he has as the team leader of the real Doom Patrol. And his lawyer tells him, Ted, listen to me, there's a problem. Assets are frozen, and without his retainer payment, he is no longer Ted's lawyer.
I shouldn't laugh, but Ted's such a horrible person.
I love it. Ted swears for 2 whole panels, and then the next time you see him, he's smashing the phone and stomping on it.
He reminded me of Mento smashing the radio.
Yeah.
in episode 80.
And Ava walks by and sees Ted stomping on the remains of the phone, and Ted asks her what she's looking at, and say something, damn it, say anything. And we see inside Ava's vacant stare to the internal battle within, and she is struggling in a black void against ensnaring tendrils. Mm. Ooh, creepy.
Weird.
Meanwhile, a short, middle-aged, rumpled, nondescript man with a thick European accent is catching a cab, and he stiffs the driver the correct payment and runs inside a hotel. That's probably nothing. Anyway, move on. Gar is looking up the details of Cliff's death on the computer, and he finds unknown missions, smoky mountains, huge explosion. No details of how, just details of where. Ted is drinking in the kitchen, getting very drunk, getting very angry in the team's headquarters, which is Bruno's, the abandoned nightclub. And Vic is bandaging his burnt arms while Shailene is apologizing to him. And Ted starts ranting, and he and Vic are about to come to blows when Gar walks in. And, Gar wants to tell the team what he has discovered, but he has to wait for Shailene and Ava. The European guy who's arrived at the hotel, it's the DARPA conference. So we'll have to find out what DARPA means later. D-A-R-P-A. And he identifies himself as Kolodenko. It's a very European name. But the conference security guards bounce him from the building. And he's, please, sir, don't make a scene. And Kolodenko makes a scene. Yes, yes, throw me out like a dog. But you tell Dr. Yanui soon Kolodenko be back.
Ooh. And for those playing at home, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Thank you, Michael.
Not a problem, Flanger.
Anyway. So they're having a heated talk about Cliff with Gar, and Ted calls him Backstreet Boy and Kermit, which amused me greatly. And then Vic chimes in, and Ted calls him Hair Farmer because he's got long hair, which is also very amusing. Don't you love Ted? This comic
would be less without Ted. He's hilarious, but so obnoxious.
Yeah. He's such an asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gar realizes this is why everyone calls him Negative Man. But then Gar tells them the news. They found Cliff's body, but they never found his head. It may be out there. Cliff may still be alive. He only needs his brain to be alive in the metal skull. But Ted is fed up. He's had enough of this. And sure, they won't even like the real Cliff Steele when they find him, he thinks. And he storms out and he grabs a cab and is about to pull out when Ava, sitting outside, whispers, don't go. He says, you say something? She says, don't go, please. I'm afraid. Anyway, at Jost Enterprises, Thayer Jost is meeting with his legal team, ready to fire the lot of them. He has a warehouse full of Doom Patrol caps, and he needs to sell. One lackey, a Falbo, first appearance of Falbo. Oh,
finally.
suggests that there is another way to get access to the Doom Patrol name. There is another survivor of the Doom Patrol. And then we see Jost and the entire legal team trooping into a hospital, perhaps the same hospital that Cliff was in issue 3. Ooh. And we see a life support monitor equipment. We see a bed, but we don't see who the survivor is in the bed. And that's where the issue ends.
Damn.
What an odd place for a cliffhanger.
A little bit, but a really good one still.
It's like, there will be a reveal any time, but not now.
I must admit, I did turn the page hoping to see who it was, but there was an ad for something.
Yeah, and we even know who it is. And that's.
Yeah, we do, but it's kind of like, oh, is it this issue? Oh, no, it's not. Oh, damn. Yeah.
Now, this John Arcudi, I think his dialogue is fantastic throughout. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've got Ted, who's such an abrasive character and, you know, has no people skills. There's no emotional intelligence, to use current government thinking. he says whatever he wants and offends everybody, and that's his way of getting through.
Yep.
But it's I love that Ava has bonded to him anyway. You know, he's such a dickhead, but, you know, she still needs him and sees him as part of the team. And, you know, without him, you know, it hurts her.
So. Yeah, well, I think she's, as we see in that short scene that goes sort of into her mind, she's in some kind of trouble within herself. So I think she's reaching out to whoever she can, and that includes Ted, I guess. So, yeah.
And, you know, we get a nice bit of development with, you know, Kid Slick Vic. He obviously has an interest in pursuing some sort of relationship with Shailene.
If only he had some sort of, I don't know, protective field, he could switch on around himself when he went in for a hug? I don't know.
He's learning what many of us do as young people is that love hurts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is the first issue without Cliff.
Yeah, I do think it was a nice spotlight on the newer team members and with Gar Logan there as well, sort of helping them try and figure out what's gone on possibly with Cliff. I do love Gar's line where he turns to Vic and he says, "So this is why everyone calls Ted Negative Man, eh?"
Yeah. I mean, and it makes sense that Gar would hang around. Like, he has a long friendship, a long history with Cliff, and, you know, if there's a mystery about what happened to Cliff, you know, it would make sense that Gar would be interested in solving that. I mean, he owes Cliff, really.
Yeah, yeah. I do think it's interesting, yeah, when Gar says that, you know, he looked up to Cliff and, you know, he was, you know, best buddies with him and that. And it's kind of funny when you think back to how they were in the 60s run. They just basically hated each other's guts.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really like this portrayal of Gar Logan. Like, in the Titans, he was very annoying a lot of the time. Like, really, you know, wanting to be the center of attention, boasting and, you know, hiding a lot of insecurity. Whereas this, he's a fairly assured hero.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He's got experience. He's, you know, around people who are less experienced than him.
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of stepped up and taken the lead in a way.
Yeah.
With trying to figure out what's going on whilst the newer, younger heroes are kind of, they are kind of falling apart with everything that's going on, not just with the previous battle with the demons, but what's happening to their own team. You know, they're in such a state of wild limbo. They don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, so interesting.
But this, I really do wish there was a way for more people to get this run in particular. It's such good fun.
Yeah, well, I'm regularly checking Comixology to see if it's appeared. And, you know, hopefully one day it will. I think it really belongs there. I mean, I'm sure there is a queue of things that they're putting in Comixology, but I like to think it's somewhere in the queue, not too far.
Yeah. We live in hope, yes.
Yeah, and a nice cover of this one. It sort of harkens back to the previous issue. It has sort of Cliff fading away with the Doom Patrol, the remaining members staring at him, and they're all slack-jawed and surprised.
I love Ted's face. He's kind of like he's – you can almost hear him saying, "What?"
He's doing a little bit of a crinkled brow trying to work it out.
Yeah.
And Cliff looks very surprised to be fading away as well.
Yes.
To be fair.
Just a bit.
Yeah. So this issue was called Dead? Yes, same creative team. Came out March 6, 2002.
Yeah.
And Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics did the colours.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. But yeah, issue volume 3. It's been a lot of fun rereading these issues. And I can't wait for us to get back to... See, I'm wondering now whether we hold off until we get further along in the... Because the end of the... Well, the end of Volume 2 kind of ties into what happens in this volume.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe we could accelerate the Morrison coverage.
We might have to.
Yeah. Like, issue 9 has a big reveal, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll work it out.
I mean, you really get through all of Volume 2 before you get to Issue 9, which is...
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see.
Yes. Anyway, have we doomsplained that?
I think we've doomsplained that pretty darn well for our first show back.
All right. Tick the doomsplained box on it.
Tick.
Comics come in all shapes and sizes.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
It's Digest Cast, a new show dedicated to our beloved pocket-sized treasures from that bygone era of the 70s and 80s.
Hosted by the Fire and Water Podcast team of Rob and Shag, and we'll be joined from time to time by special guests.
It's Digest Cast, because big things come in small packages.
coming soon to the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
And now it's time for the Mailbag of Doom, where we respond. We look at all the responses to the question of the week from last year. Nice. Question of the year? No, well, it is about the year. Anyway, we asked everybody, and we stipulated against a particularly low bar, what's the best thing about 2016? And we heard from Dr. Ange, Dr. Ange 70 on the Twitter, and he said, the year-long celebration of the 35th anniversary of the US release of Men at Work's Business as Usual.
Is that like the only album Ange has?
You hear about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's doing it to taunt us because, oh, we're Australian. But, yeah, we need to buy that man some new music. Anyway, we also heard from Craig101 at Craig R. McD, and Craig said, the new Doom Patrol book, Batwoman being prominent in Detective Comics, yes, and a new title in 2017, and also that Wally West is back.
Yeah. Nice. Rebirth was good for that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Dr. Ange's real answer. And he said, truly the best thing is making new comic friends via social media like you guys.
Aww. Thanks, Ange.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
Are there guys like us? I don't know.
We heard from Karthik at Karthik Karkarala, and he said, I'm finally making music again, occasionally. Hey, that's awesome. Even if it is occasionally, Karthik. And he said, also, Doom Patrol / Young Animal. No, really.
So, yeah. Cool. Nice. I occasionally make music out of my bottom.
My God. What's your album called? Flanger Farts?
Anyway.
Good to be back.
It's great to be back. We heard from Dylan Knows, who's at Dylan Proko on Twitter, and he said, Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on Superman, and the return of the pre-New 52 Wally West, and more female creators and characters, and Doom Patrol as well. Nice. Hey, Dylan.
Have you been reading that Tomasi Gleason Superman at all?
No, I have not.
Because I really liked their work on Batman and Robin.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, that was a good team. I haven't gotten into the new book because I'm not that much of a Superman fan, but I'll probably check out the first trade.
Yeah, I'll visit it all from the library when it hits. I am reading a bunch of Rebirth stuff via Rifty, okay. But cool. Not that one. Not that right.
One. Oh, look, it's Kevin at Astrakis One.
Hey, Kevin.
New Hive Mate Trickle. Ooh. He said, getting to meet one of you back in June, followed closely by the Doom Patrol's return.
Now, I don't remember. Was that me?
Wow, how drunk were you? How many cliff breakdowns had you been reading when you met Kevin? No, that's right. I was quite fortunate in that I got to go to Heroes Con again in Charlotte, North Carolina, back in June, and I got to meet Kevin for the first time. So, yeah.
Are you going to HeroesCon this year?
I knew this would come up. It's I would really love to, and I'm quite genuine when I say I don't think it's going to happen. It would take a couple of miracles, I think, to make it happen, but I might be some other priorities this year, and maybe being a bit more fiscally responsible, shall we say, and not sort of deciding at the last minute to jump on a plane overseas and, you know.
Right. Well, I am thinking about going in 2018, so okay. Just putting it out there.
All right. We might have to do a WFD road trip.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, 2018 is probably looking more likely for me. I would love to go 3 years in a row, but I just don't know if I can manage it this year.
Yeah.
But we'll talk.
Okay. We heard from Aaron Long at Juice005, one of the evil minds behind Comicosity. And he said his highlight was that Mike finally agreed to read less Crossed.
Yes.
And I think it's really because he's read them all. Yeah. but he'll take the win anyway. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks.
If you've never read Cross, don't.
Don't.
That recommendation.
Don't. It's if you don't get, yeah, Aaron has this ongoing joke that I've read a lot of Cross, which I haven't. I know of it. I've seen art from it. I am not a fan.
And I would, fairly depraved horror.
Yeah, I would not recommend it to anyone. So, yeah. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Oh, look, something sensible from Moby1 at Shmoby1 on Twitter. And he said, I'm guessing either I've missed a tweet or he's saying that one of his highlights for 2016 was Waiting for Doom, because he's written Waiting for Doom plus DC Universe Rebirth 1, Return of the Doom Patrol, seeing Black Sabbath live. Wow. Even if it was for their final tour, Grim Dawn and Magic Jewels. I'm guessing those last two are games.
I think Magic Jewels, not Jewels, is related to Magic the Gathering and something.
You're making fun of the way I talk, mate.
Yeah. No.
Right.
We heard from Daniel Slaggle, who's at dslaggle on the Twitter, and he said, Young Animal starting. Hear, hear.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah.
The Comic Book Club, at Comic Book Club PC on Twitter, said their highlight was that their second son was born. Congratulations.
Comic Book Club Junior, as he's called.
And that's the first time we've heard from Comic Book Club PC. Another comic-related podcast from the looks of it. So, yeah, thanks for joining in.
Nice. Over on the Facebook, we heard from Feathers and Foes, Ashton, over at the Feathers and Foes podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in Birds of Prey, that's a great podcast to check out. And he also does Straight Out of Gallifrey, the Doctor Who podcast about Gallifreyans, mostly.
Right.
Got to be specific. Anyway, he said, the new A Tribe Called Quest album brought happiness to my life. Unfortunately, one of the members passed away in 2016. Who didn't pass away in 2016?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he got something good from them. Yeah. Keith G. Baker wrote, the Penguins won the Stanley Cup.
Are these literal Penguins?
No, I believe it's ice hockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I won the Stanley Knife. That's...
Oh, yeah, who'd you win it from?
Bunnings. Aussie joke.
Hello to all our Australian fans.
Oh dear, sorry. We heard from Jared Driscoll, and he said the Avalanche has released a new album after 16 years.
Wow, I couldn't believe it was actually that long, but it does sound about right.
Wow.
Yeah. Their first album was great. Haven't checked out their second one, though.
Yeah, I sort of came out while I was sort of transitioning away from Triple J.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I'm an old man now, so I only listen to Phil Collins mostly.
Right, noted. All right, Paul, what was your highlight or highlights for 2016?
Well, what a stinker of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything bad happened in 2016, and collectively, everyone was just disgusted with the year mostly. So, but I'm going to go for the obvious and say the Return of the Doom Patrol. We do a podcast called Waiting for Doom, and so having a new Doom Patrol comic to talk about makes the podcast very exciting. And yes,
yeah, it kind of threw a yes, it does, but it also threw a spanner in the works.
A little bit of an existential crisis for the podcast.
I think we'll manage, though. I think we'll do it all right.
Did we sell out by continuing? Maybe that's what we did. Maybe we should have just stopped.
Hell no.
Maybe we should have restarted the podcast after the first issue came out.
Oh, God, yeah, let's reboot.
When the second one came.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Waiting for Doom now.
All new Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom 52.
Waiting for Doom Rebirth.
Oh, good God. Well yes, I think the new book is a given. Was there anything else that was a candle in the darkness of the crapness that was 2016?
Well, I mean, even for movies, I found 2016 was not that crash. Like, I think I liked Rogue One the best.
Mm-hmm.
Films I saw last year, but you know, it's no Mad Max Fury Road, if you know what I mean.
I know. I was listening back to our first episode of 2015, and you loved yourself some Mad Max Fury Road.
I threw it on the other day. I only had time to watch like 8 minutes of it, and I still put it on just to watch 8 minutes of it.
Hell, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my kind of last minute pick was Star Wars The Force Awakens. So it's interesting that you've picked a Star Wars film this year.
Yeah.
That came out towards the end of the year as well. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Are you looking for... Well, let's get to your answer, Michael. Or Mike, as I call you.
Oh, thanks, Slayer. It's a given. The Doom Patrol coming back, definitely a highlight. I mean, Paul and I were jumping out of our skin. Not literally, but, you know, when the announcement was made. It's certainly made the show a bit different, I think, because now we get to look at classic Patrol as well as brand new Patrol. And as you said, Paul, it's exciting because we have no idea what's coming in the new Patrol.
No.
Whereas we're kind of revisiting and we know what to expect from the classic stuff.
Yeah, so. We get to sit back and be smug usually, and now we're like everyone else.
So that's a definite highlight. Meeting my partner, Kylie, definitely one of the best things to happen in 2016. And it's kind of funny, and it leads into my next favorite thing, because Kylie and I met and we'd only be going out a little while, and it got close to my birthday, and I said, I'm going to be actually traveling away for my birthday. She said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to America to a comic book convention. And she was like, right. So yes, Heroes Con. And I know we griped about this movie, and we dedicated an entire episode to it. But one of my favorite things on the screen was not the entire film of Batman vs. Superman, but seeing the mighty DC Trinity of Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman on screen together in that final fight scene against Doomsday. Spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, sorry. That to me was just like something I'd always wanted to see, you know, since I was a kid. And that was just like that last big climactic battle. I love that portion of that movie. The rest of it, yeah. But that to me, that was like, you know, one of my favorite comic book scenes in a movie of all time. So yeah.
You get a Justice League film at the end of this year, so maybe that'll be more of that times 10.
Yeah.
More of the good stuff and less of the, why did you say Martha?
Martha?
Martha and the Muffins.
Total Control.
Well, that's the Motels. You think of Echo Beach.
Oh, sorry. Yep, I stand corrected. Don't mind me. I've had a very late night, and it's getting late again, and I'm very tired. So, yeah, it'll be totally worth it by the time you guys hear this episode. Trust me.
Yeah, we're going to edit all this out.
Yeah.
None of this will be in it. It's going to be a 20-minute ep.
Yeah, sure.
Magic.
Dear me. Anyway, on that note, I think we'll start signing off. Next week on the show, we are going to be heading back to Volume 2 to continue on with some more Morrison and Case, and we'll be looking at issues 56 and 57.
Yeah, what happened after Joshua's shot?
Ooh, cliffhangers everywhere. Nothing. And speaking of that, Paul, what's our question of the week for the next episode?
We're asking everybody, what is the best cliffhanger ending to something? TV, comic, movie, book, letter, email, things like that.
I'm trying to think of a letter that had a cliffhanger ending there.
Love, dot, dot, dot.
Yours respectfully. dear. Anyway, that's it for us for this week. You can reach us on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can make contact via Facebook on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And you can also get in touch by Doug's amazing post on mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And that's it for us this week. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in for all of 2016. It's really appreciated, guys. And I am still blown away by the fact that people enjoy our ramblings about our favorite comic book team. So thank
you. Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. And thank you, Paul. I could not do the show without you.
Thank you, Mike. If I didn't have Mike, we would just be talking to each other on the phone. In fact, I wouldn't be talking to anyone. Now, I just let everyone in. Mike, he records these, he edits these, he posts them, and he sorts out all the music. So everything funny that happens with audio is to do with Mike. So, you know, my hat's off to Mike. And that fabulous opening of this episode, that's all him.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, he's the best.
Oh, no, you.
You're in the top two people on this podcast.
Wow. All right, signing off there. That's a cliffhanger for us. Catch you all again next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Bye. Happy New Year, Mike.
Happy New Year, Paul.
I've been listening to a lot more Phil Collins.
Are you?
Yeah. But I think you can improve some of the lyrics.
Or get them wrong.
You can tell by the lines on her face. She's been playing with textures. Anyway, sorry.
It's good to be back.
We're back.
Flagler and Garves, comedy gold. Champagne comedy.